In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody out there listening to 1430 ESPN. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Metters. January 27th, year of our Lord 2024, live here at First String Sports. It's going to be a beautiful day, I think. Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating helps sponsor all the shows here on 1430 ESPN. We bring you the weather report. 55 degrees right now. High of 67. And I did check, you know, my Apple iPhone. You can check to see the weather for the next 7 days. And I think it was Monday or Tuesday, a high of 74 degrees. So it'll be nice to see some sunshine after some rain and dark clouds for the last week and a half or so. But thanks to First String Sports. They are my day one sponsors. This is the place to be, man. This is the only place where you can get your Letterman's jacket. I do my show in the Letterman's jacket room. And I'm not kidding you guys. Since the store opened at 9 o'clock, there's been seven different people in here buying Letterman's jackets, getting them fitted, custom made. It's been really fun to see. I've seen Kingsburg in here. I've seen Parlier, Clovis North. It's pretty cool. It's really cool to do my show from this room. All right. What do we got going on today? After the break, I'm going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo, host of Home Field Advantage, produces my show as well. He's my partner in crime, broadcasting basketball games. Able to broadcast Bullard and San Joaquin Memorial Boys last Tuesday. That game was won by Bullard in a thriller. I'll mention that a little bit. Next week, actually undecided next week. Got a couple options. We were actually talking off air a few minutes ago. So a couple really good options next week. So we'll be sure to let you know on the Twitter, on the X. Speaking of that social media platform, you can follow me at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, or at 1430 ESPN. You can follow Gabe. I might as well mention that now, at Gabe Camarillo _. He does a great job keeping up with games all around the Central section as well. Chatting with Gabe about rankings, maybe a little bit NFL talk. A couple big games are going on tomorrow, obviously. Niners and Lions, Chiefs and Ravens. So, yeah, we might be chatting about that a bit. Around 10:30 or so, maybe around 10:35, she's coming in here live to First String Sports. Clovis West star Athena Tomlinson. She is a point guard / shooting guard. That's actually one of the questions I'm going to ask her. She's the main ball handler, but she can also shoot, and she can score, and she can pass, and she can defend, and she's got a ton of steals. She's going to Boston College, committed, D1 girl. She was offered by Fresno State. Yeah, but she eventually chose Boston College, got a 4.5 GPA as well. I've watched her play since she was a freshman. I heard about her in the eighth grade, and you know, she's one of those girls that I've had the privilege of watching for 4 years on the varsity level. So it's her first time on the show, so I'm really looking forward to chatting with Athena Tomlinson around 10:30 or so live here at First String Sports. At the top of hour number two, Bullard Boys basketball coach Tim Amundson returns to the show. Love having Tim. Comes on once a year. His nights, they keep on rolling. Once January, beginning of January rolled around, we knew that they were going to be a very formidable team. A couple transfers come in. They look really good. They are now 6-0 in the CMAC. They had a huge week. Defeated San Joaquin Memorial and Sanger, both on the road. I think last night's score was, 69-64 over Sanger. Sanger's not an easy place to play, that's for darn sure. But, yeah, the Knights are hot. The Knights are hot. And Tim Amundson is a huge reason why. Always look forward to talking to Coach Amundson. At the bottom of hour number two, another guy I have on once a year. Always look forward to this. Show lined up really nice. Fresno Pacific men's basketball coach C.J. Haydock. Talk about hot, man. They are playing their best basketball of the season. They've won four in a row, including, check this out, a quadruple overtime home win over Westmont on this week. I think it was Wednesday. Not Thursday, right? I think it was Wednesday. They have a home game today against Biola at 4:30, but quadruple overtime win, 94-95. That game featured not one, not two, but three buzzer beaters to send the game into overtime. The winning, the final overtime didn't have a game-winning shot, but Espresso Pacific had three buzzer-beating shots to send the games into overtime. Pretty remarkable. Always great to talk to Coach Haydock. That will be at the bottom of hour number two. Okay, how about a couple scores from last night? Got some CMAC and some track scores. I mentioned Bullard beating Sanger 69-64. How about this? San Joaquin Memorial playing in a lot of tight basketball games this season. They defeated Edison 76-75 in overtime. I heard that game had what's the best way to frame it? I'll let Gabe Camarillo frame it because he was there. He's there for the fourth quarter last night. And, yeah, there's some interesting things that were going on in that game. Fan was asked to leave. And, yeah, some wild, wacky stuff going on in that one. So we'll hear from Gabe on that. San Joaquin Memorial, again, defeats Edison 76-75. In the track, how about them Clovis North Broncos? They are now 6-0 after defeating Clovis East 71-58. We know early in the week on Tuesday, the Broncos defeated Clovis West 79-67 to take control. We're already anticipating the rematch on February 9th at Clovis West. Now, that one I could say 96% will be broadcasting that one. I anticipate Clovis North being 9-0 and West being 8-1 ahead of that one. But I tell you what, Buchanan's got a really good basketball team this year. They're fun to watch. Coach Tom Ulrich has returned to Clovis to coach the Bears. He's doing a fantastic job. But anyway, Clovis North is hot. They keep it rolling, beating Clovis East. And Clovis West, again, coming off that loss to Clovis North, they took it to Central 90-43. Grizzlies having a rough time at 0-6 in the track. Yeah, there's a few scores from last night. I do want to mention a couple other things before we hit the break. The Clovis West girls, I watched their game last night against Central. It ended up being, I think, a 9-point game in the fourth quarter. Clovis West girls were up 23-4 after the end of the first quarter. I thought, oh man, here we go again. Clovis West girls are going to roll, but not Central. They came back. They played tough. They didn't back down. I mean, they're athletic. I mean, they're the defending state champs, right? D2 state champs. But you know, they lost a few girls from last year's team. But they play hard, and they did not give up. Their new coach is doing a fantastic job. But Clovis West came out with a win. They're currently ranked number 10 in the state by Cal High Sports. And I want to mention Sage Hill. They're ranked number 5. I looked up the rankings on Cal High Sports. And why am I bringing up Sage Hill? Well, because yesterday was the 4-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's untimely death. So his daughter Gianna and 7 others were killed in the helicopter crash. And those girls were set to play for Sage Hill. They were, you know, the Mamba team that Kobe Bryant took all over the United States. I mean, if you just Google that, there's great stories and interviews with the remaining 5 girls that were part of that program. They're currently on the Sage Hill girls basketball team. And if you guys remember, in 2022, they won the state championship. They won the state title over San Joaquin Memorial. And I think we all can remember when we first heard that Kobe Bryant had passed away, along with others and his daughter. Either you got a text, or you saw it on Twitter, or you heard it on the radio, or you saw it on SportsCenter. It's just one of those moments. It's a surreal moment. You don't believe it's true, that it's really happening. No way. There's no way Kobe Bryant passed away at the age of 41. There's no way there was a tragedy like that. Absolutely not. But it happened. Sad. I mean, it's something that people will remember for a lifetime. And his presence, Kobe Bryant, and what he brought to this particular group of girls, it's going to last a lifetime. So Sage Hill ranked number 5 in the state. Who knows? Maybe they got another run for a state championship. So Kobe Bryant, it's still hard to believe that he's not with us anymore. A couple other things really, really quick. Ricky Manning. You guys know Ricky Manning from Edison lore, right? UCLA, his stint in the NFL. Well, he's been named the defensive back coach for the Las Vegas Raiders. So just as recently as 2020, Ricky Manning was still in town. He was coaching Clovis North. He was the D coordinator for Clovis North. And they got an assistant job with the Jets and now has landed as a DB coach for the Raiders. So that's pretty cool. I mean, just, you know, one of the legends of the Central Valley. Graduated. Well, actually, he was the head coach in 2012 for a season and then moved on to Fresno City, Broncos, back to Fresno State. He's had quite a journey, but they're really excited about him taking that gig for the Las Vegas Raiders. All right. We're bringing up Cade Camarillo. Might as well bring him up after the break, be talking about the games that we were able to witness this week, talk about the rankings, and why not. Let's talk a little bit NFL. You have been listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, wait for the lyrics to kick in. 21 Pilots, one of my favorite groups of all time. I've seen them twice in concert, man. They're entertaining. Great music, entertaining. Pyrotechnics, I mean, the works at their show. So, yeah, 21 Pilots, always good to listen to them. Hey, I always enjoy listening to Gabe Camarillo. I listen to him when I'm driving home from work. Home Field Advantage on 1430 here, 3 to 5, Monday through Thursday. He's my partner in crime, calling high school basketball games. I obviously did football as well, did halftime, pregame, a postgame show. Gabe and I, we really enjoy getting to know these student athletes. We have them on our show, have coaches on our show, talk about games. We love our jobs, right? We love what we do. We're passionate about it. And Gabe, you are I mentioned in my opener, because you and I talked about it a bit, but I need the full story. So you were driving around last night and following some games on Max Preps, and you saw that San Joaquin Memorial and Edison, they were involved in a hot contest, so to speak. So you're able to check out a little bit of that game. But, man, it just seems like when those two teams get together, there's crazy play on the field and maybe even a little bit craziness on the court as well. So what were you witness to last night?
So as you mentioned, just driving around that part of Fresno, I looked at Max Preps. It was tied in the fourth quarter, so I managed to park real quick and jump inside, and it was a 4 free throw performance from Jackson Silverstrom in the fourth quarter, part of his 16 total points that night. And the 4 free throws were impressive, but then I'm like, how come they shot 4 free throws? And then I saw, you know, there was a police officer talking to a fan. Stuff like that happens. Now, you can have a whole debate if you should be that upset and yell at the ref for a high school sporting event. That's totally up for discussion. But regardless, the reason why there was a technical was there, I guess, was some words said, and it gave Silverstrom 2 extra free throws to go with his shooting foul free throws, and a fan didn't like that, so that's what led to the ejection. But you're right. There is usually crazy stuff on the court with Memorial and Edison. I don't know what it is, but Memorial brings the best out of Edison. Every single time these teams have faced since the beginning of last year, Edison's either won or they've lost in a very narrow way and in a very heartbreaking way. And it was heartbreaking last night for the Tigers. Such a heartbreak because they were playing so well. The effort, energy level was up. And they were taking advantage of a Memorial team that did not have Abram Potts available. So they relied on 2 freshmen down the stretch. I mentioned Silverstrom, 1 freshman, had 16 points to lead the team. But there were 4 other Panthers in double figures scoring, including Ty Schalk, the other freshman who hit the go-ahead 3-pointer with 30 seconds left in overtime. So, yeah, the 4 free throws gave Memorial a 69-67 lead in regulation. But shout-out to Javon Joshua, who got a nice pass and a score on the baseline to tie it at 69, sent it to OT. Edison got up by 4 twice in OT, and they almost got the game-sealing rebound, but they batted it away, and they batted it to the wrong person, to Ty Schalk, and it ended up giving Schalk a second chance to hit a 3 to take the lead, and Edison wasn't able to get a shot off. So if Edison beat Memorial, Edison would have been 2-0 against the preseason CMAC favorite. Memorial stays in the CMAC race, but they're going to hope for Bullard to drop one of these last 3 games, either against Garza at home or on the road against Madera or Edison. If the Knights win all 3 of those games, they are outright CMAC league champions because they won head-to-head this past Tuesday.
And it's fun, Gabe, that you mentioned those 2 freshmen for San Joaquin Memorial, and I saw the clip that you posted on Twitter. It was Schalk, right, that hit that game-winning shot. And I tell you what, man, That was money. It wasn't a shot that rattled in or banked in or anything crazy like that. He squared that up and switched that thing like he knew what he was doing. And it seems, Gabe, there's a lot of young talent up and down the central section. There's a lot of freshmen and sophomores that are getting, you know, significant playing time. And I know Memorial's missing a really good young kid named Parker Spees, 6'7". Hopefully he'll be back in a week as well. But we're seeing lots of young talent up and down the central section. And we saw some sophomores for Bullard. Speaking of San Joaquin Memorial, at San Joaquin Memorial, a game that we were able to broadcast, Javance Coleman and Daylon Felder, those guys took over late in that game as well.
Right. And Bullard, I was wondering if this would be their time, so to speak. Like, we know Memorial has older players, the senior Dre Davis, juniors in Julius Olunwaju and Silas Rodriguez and Abram Potts, but would this be Bullard's year? Because they're so uniquely constructed. They got senior guys in the front court, and then their sophomore stars in the back court. It is their year. They showed it because the seniors stepped up. Jackson and Johnson both had games to remember with their rebounding and defense. And Felder had 20 points and hit big shot after big shot, the biggest, the go-ahead bucket. So this Bullard team, I think you can make the clear argument they're the fourth best in the Valley. And if they were to match up with a similarly athletic team like a Clovis North or a Clovis West, they can match up with those Jimmys and Joes. I like their chances to maybe pull off an upset in the semis. Someone has to pick another team outside the top three. I'm going to pick Bullard as that team.
And we'll be hearing from Coach Tim Amundson a little after 11 o'clock. We'll be breaking a lot of this stuff down as well. Gabe, okay, so let's talk a little rankings, playoff picture. Mm. Things are starting to shape up again. I can't believe it's going to be February next week, and so at the end of February are the Central Section Championships and playoffs. So, all right, make a case, Gabe. Let me say this first. I kind of break this into tiers: St. Joseph, Clovis North, and Clovis West in the top tier. Then you got, you know, the Bullard and the Centennial,
Memorial,
maybe even Buchanan or Bakersfield Christian. Buchanan might be on that cusp. They're going to be a tough out in the playoffs as well. So, Gabe, make a case either, you know, on your own merit or what the computers might do, right? Because the computers are taking over for playoff seedings for Clovis North being the top seed.
So Clovis North has the current strongest strength of schedule, and you look at all their losses, came to top 20 teams in the state. I mean, Sierra Canyon just beat Sherman Oaks Notre Dame in a great game last night to take over the number one spot in California. So that's the team that gave Clovis North its worst loss at the Save Right Center, the number one team in the state. So North's battle-tested. They have the best win of anyone in the section right now against another section team that is beating Clovis West. So when you have the best in-section win and you have the strongest schedule, I think you got to be number one, right? And now St. Joseph, they get in based off of their roster and their talent, but off the resume alone, I think Clovis North deserves to be the one seed.
Well, we'll see, right? I'm looking at Max Prep's rankings right now. We'll see on Tuesday when it populates how it's going to spit it out. Looking at strength of schedule, and again, I don't even really know what these numbers mean. I just know that Clovis North has the highest strength of schedule rating at 22.1, St. Joseph at 19.3. Then you got Clovis West at 20.9. Nobody else has really approached that. We got Clovis East at 16. That would be the fourth highest strength of schedule. But Gabe, St. Joseph, they're in a little bit of quandary, and you know, Coach Tom Mott knows. You know, he knows exactly where he's at. I mean, heck, they made it to the finals last year, the state finals in the open division. But, you know, their league, pretty darn weak. You know, Mission Prep has had a good team the last few years. They got blown out last night by St. Joe's. But they're trying to keep themselves sharp by playing in tournaments and some Saturday showcases. So it's kind of crazy, right, Gabe? St. Joseph, they were the 3 seed last year and won the whole darn thing, right? So they might not be the number one seed again.
They have reason to be upset. I'm not saying they are upset, but they have reason to be upset. They might take this in stride and say exactly what you mentioned. They were 3 last year, and they won the whole thing, and they got to host a semi because the number 2 seed was upset. But there is a lot of resentment among coaches about this format. I mean, Frontier's coach had a good comment yesterday on social media how no one agrees with this format. Like, no one likes it, and he still has to meet someone who does like it. Because of Frontier, right? For beating Liberty in an exciting one-point game earlier this week, they passed Liberty as the 16th seed. So now Frontier, if they win out or they just lose to Centennial, they'll be the 16 seed when they could easily be a top four in Division Two. So
meaning
that's
they'd
one
have to travel, yeah, to yes, number one, yeah,
exactly, and go yeah against Clovis North potentially. Yeah. But in St. Joseph's case, it's so much more frustrating because you are a team that has a legitimate shot at winning a D1 title, but it's hard if you have to go to Clovis West and beat Clovis West in their own gym. That's just, no matter how good you are, it's extremely difficult to do that. So the thing about the Mountain League versus the track is it's very clear the track's better. And coaches don't want to hear that, but a good test is Clovis East beating Arroyo Grande by 3 mm-hmm in the Central Coast, right? Clovis East is probably the fourth best team in the track because they lost to Buchanan by 15 and lost to Clovis North twice, and Clovis West also beat them on the road. So I think Clovis East is number 4, and they beat the Mountain League number 2 team. Tells you what you need to know about the Mountain League. It's not at all strong. It doesn't prepare St. Joseph for the playoffs. It didn't stop them last year from winning at all, but it will stop them from probably hosting more than one home playoff game.
All right, really quick, let's give some North Yosemite love, right? We got a tough league battle going on. Hoover's right there. Sunnyside's right there. Roosevelt's right there. Hey, that there's some good basketball being played in that league as well.
Yeah, and I hate to bring up the playoffs again, Paul, but it feels like the champion of this league is going to end up in D1. Hoover right now is the number 13 seed, and I think you have a great league-deciding matchup. Unless Hoover and Roosevelt lose a couple more, so then Sunnyside can jump back in. But based off of both Roosevelt and Hoover being 8-1 right now, I could see them winning their next two games, and then I think it's Friday, or it could be Saturday, honestly. But sometime next weekend, Roosevelt hosts Hoover in what should be the NYO Championship, which could mean a lot for playoffs, too. Roosevelt losing to Sunnyside, and I saw that game. Tanner Wilson had his jump shot working, and Malachi Barnes also had a fantastic game. So they were able to beat Roosevelt, give Roosevelt their first league loss. Probably keeps Roosevelt in that 7-10 range, but I'm telling you, man, with Roosevelt and Sunnyside and Hoover, you got three great Division II teams with the current format. I mean, St. Joseph would get two home games, and they could probably host a Hoover. That doesn't sound right to me that St. Joseph, Santa Maria hosts Hoover in a basketball tournament. It does not make sense to me, but that could be the reality if Hoover stays in D1.
I know, definitely lots of talking points around that, right? I like the 12 teams. I like Division II being super, super strong. I know the teams don't like byes, the top seeds, they don't like byes and all that stuff. So anyway, all right, let's move on, Gabe. I promised a little bit of NFL talk, right? I don't think we've ever talked to NFL on my show. Gosh darn it, those Chiefs beat Josh Allen and the Bills last week. I was at Disneyland watching the game with my buddy. We had on a little phone on the waiting for the Dumbo ride and watched the end of that one and just like, oh my gosh, stinking Patrick Mahomes does it again and the missed field goal and all that stuff. So I don't know if the window's closing for Josh. I don't think so. But anyway, it would have been really fun to watch Bills at Ravens this weekend. We got Chiefs at Ravens, Ravens favored by 3.5, and then Lions at Niners, Niners favored by 7. Lots of talk about the quarterback, right? I mean, that's always the talk when it comes to this point of the season. We've got Purdy against Goff. I mean, is there any way, Gabe, any way possible the Niners lose this game?
I think so. The Lions, I feel like, have all the momentum in the world, but the Niners are so, so talented. And I feel like this last week was what the Niners needed to kind of shock them back into what they're used to, shock them back into rhythm. I hate to use that heart-related term, but it feels like the Niners needed that game last week. And they should have lost, but they didn't. I feel like Niners are in the Super Bowl, and I got them facing the Chiefs in a rematch from a few years ago.
I think it would be devastating for the Niners Nation if they lose that game to the Lions. Obviously, you know, the Lions are a great story. It's a franchise that's tortured, so to speak. So yeah, it's a big one. It's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. And then Ravens Chiefs. A lot of people are picking the Chiefs in this one. You know, is playoff Lamar Jackson gonna come out? You know what Mahomes can do in any situation. So who do you got in that one?
Yeah, Chiefs all the way. Until I see you beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, I'm not gonna pick you in any game with Mahomes involved. How many have actually beat Mahomes? And you got Tom Brady. Tom Brady twice actually in the Super Bowl and in the AFC Championship, and I think Joe Burrow once. That's it. Brady and Burrow, unless that's your last name, you're not going to be Mahomes. And Lamar, great story, but there are guys who have done this before in the postseason. Mahomes is one of those guys. I really think we're watching the next Brady in making with Patrick Mahomes. If he makes the Super Bowl, what will it be? His third Super Bowl, and he's only been the starter at Kansas City for about five, 6 years.
Yeah.
Fourth Super Bowl?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, yep. So, and let's see. I mean, Lamar got his money, right? All right, Lamar, you got your money. So, yeah, you better put out a good product, especially in a playoff game. This is one more game, and you get to go to the Super Bowl. So, good stuff, as always, Gabe, my friend. I'm sure we'll text this weekend. And stay tuned, right, for the game that we're going to do next week.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Gabe. All right, Athena Tomlinson, star guard at Clovis West. She's coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the Rich Eisen Show weekdays at 10 a.m.
Right. Man, I feel like we're at a NBA game right now. I love the music. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. And the place to be, right? This is where Letterman's jackets are purchased and customized and all that good stuff. So make sure you guys check it out. Also, obviously, equipment. I mean, football equipment I'm looking at the wall, and baseball bats. I mean, baseball started, guys. Baseball practice started. Softball practice has started as well. We're going to be obviously basketball heavy, right? When it's basketball season, but when baseball starts filtering in a little bit more, be talking about baseball. I love myself some baseball, that's for darn sure. All right, we got Athena Tomlinson here, Clovis West senior. She's on a little bit of a scoring tear right now. She scored 26, 22, 20, and 19 points respectively in the last four games, headed to Boston College next season. In her three-plus years, check this out, guys. I mean, this is kind of the Clovis West girls' way. In her three-plus years at Clovis West, she started as a freshman. They're a combined 92-9. Three Central Section championships, gunning for a fourth straight title. Athena, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I talk about Clovis West girls and talk about you and some of the girls that have come before you, you know, I say, yeah, I've been able to watch Athena from her freshman year, right, to now. And just to see the growth, you know, not only as a person, but as a player, it's one of those things as, you know, a media person that I really enjoy. And so it's great to have you. This is your first time on the show. You play really good basketball your entire career. And, you know, last night was a tough game, right, after the first quarter. Let's put it that way. Actually, Central outscored Clovis West the rest of the way after that first quarter. It was 23-4. It was just one of those games where Central just kept creeping back. The energy was on their side. You know, how did you feel, let's just say, you know, during that game? I know the second half was a little bit of a challenge for you. I think you were banged up a little bit. No excuses, right? Hobbled a little bit. Never excuses. But, you know, just kind of talk about that game and what was going through your mind and how the game finished.
Yeah, so they came out and face guarded me starting in the first quarter, and I was just, you know, proud of my teammates and thankful that they were able to step up. You know, Keegan Medeiros was hitting shots, Riley was banging with the posts, and Araya was making some great plays. So we were really on a tear. We had all the momentum in the first quarter, so I was just happy and grateful that my teammates were able to step up, even though they're face guarding me and I'm not getting that many touches. So the second quarter, you know, they started to come back. I think we didn't take as many good shots. I think our defensive intensity slipped a little bit, and, you know, I think we just weren't hitting Savannah that hard in the post. So she's able to come back. She's like their energizer bunny for their team. So that's when the momentum started to change in the game.
Yeah, you're talking about Central's Savannah Chase, right? Sitting in the middle of the zone. She's long. She's about 6 feet tall. She's deflecting a lot of shots. But you hit a big shot, Athena. Well, let me just start with the first quarter. So within the first minute, I wrote this down in my notes. You had a steal, assist, and bucket in the first 1:30 of the game. So you made your presence known. I know they were face guarding you, but you came out really strong in that first quarter. But you made a huge three-pointer, Athena, with about 2 minutes and 56 seconds left. And it made it a 14-point game, right? You say, oh, 14-point game with 3 minutes left, right? You made it that. But it still felt really, really tight because, like I said, Central was coming back. They were intense. The momentum was on that side, even though it was in your gym. But talk about that shot, that three-pointer. Was it at that point where you're like, okay, I could breathe maybe just a little bit? Or what was your mentality going into that shot?
Yeah, I could definitely tell they had the momentum in the game. It's late in the clock, so that's when I kind of go into, you know, I don't know, Mamba mode, Curry mode. Like, I just kind of get locked in, really focused. You know, that doesn't mean I'm taking every shot, but I'm super locked into the game and super in tune to, you know, what we need at that very moment. So, you know, on that shot, my mind was clear. You know, they let me see the light of day, and I just felt really confident in that moment that I could, you know, knock it down and really, really seal the game and get the ball rolling back on our side.
Yeah, you're not afraid to take those shots, right? What point in your career, or has it always, you always had that mentality when you felt comfortable in a clutch moment, right at that time, right? Maybe not so much as a freshman, maybe a little bit more as a sophomore, and then obviously as a junior or senior. Has that been your mentality, or is it just like, man, I don't care if I'm a freshman, I'm going to take that shot anyway?
Yeah, for me, definitely as a Clovis West freshman, you're really learning the system. You're kind of out there trying not to make a mistake. But, you know, as I progress, you know, sophomore, junior, and now senior year, you know, I just have, you know, so much confidence, and my teammates have confidence in me. And that really comes from, you know, getting in the gym and doing work. You know, I'm up in the morning, you know, taking shots. I'm in the gym practicing, obviously, with the team and, you know, staying after practice and, you know, even shooting when I get home. So, just all the preparation and the shots I take and the work I put in, that allows me to just have, you know, confidence and a clear mind, you know, during big moments in the game.
And it shows. And it shows all that experience. We're talking with Athena Tomlinson from Clovis West. All right, how about after games? You've played probably 1,000 games in your career, but let's say a high school game or a high intense game. When you get home, is it hard for you to settle down a little bit? You know, when you're laying in your bed are you thinking about the game? Are you thinking about your mistakes? Is it easy to fall asleep on those big games? What's going through your mind?
Yeah, definitely after the game, you know, my dad, my family, we all like, you know, go over it play by play by play by play. So, you know, we're really talking about the game, even like reenacting, you know, different plays and, you know, what went wrong, what could have went better, you know, even the highlights of my game. For me, like, you know, wherever I struggled, whatever, you know, I could have done better. Sometimes I'll take some extra shots. Like last night, I was like 2 for 6 from the free throw line. So I was up, you know, taking free throws because, like, you know, I really want to, you know, be a 90% free throw shooter next year. And, like, I have higher expectations for myself. So I need to, you know, change something, make something different to make a change.
Free throws are big, man. I'm a free throw guy. 2 for 6. All right, Athena. You're like, okay, I got to work on those types of things. Mm-hmm. Athena, what's been like your toughest game? You know, I know you guys have played in D.C. You've played in Hawaii, right? You've played against some of the best teams in the nation. Is there one game that sticks out like, man, this team is super, super tough?
You know, we played Sidwell Friends mm-hmm. in Hawaii, and that was a really tough game. I was really proud of how our team, you know, battled. Like, we battled Zanai Osaka, McDonald's All-American going to UCLA, Kendall Dudley, McDonald's All-American going to UCLA, you know, Jordan Jackson, she's a great sophomore. So that was a team where we came in, like, severely, like, as the underdog. And the fact that we were able to come out and hang with them for 3 quarters, I think it was a 6-point game at the start of the fourth yeah. quarter, you know, just to be able to do that and compete with the top level, the top teams in the country, that was really where I'm like, okay, you know, this is a year where we can do something. We're up there. Like, we're top dogs.
How is it going to Hawaii?
Hawaii
is that your
great.
Second time there?
That was
with
my
basketball?
Second. Okay. No, I've never been there for basketball. That was my first time
okay,
for basketball.
Got it.
But I have been there before. It was great. Coach Campbell, we're really fortunate to have him. He advocated for us to go like 3 days early, so we did a bunch of fun stuff. We did like a hike. We went snorkeling at Hanama Bay. So to have those experiences and then still be able to be locked in on the basketball side, like, that just made it so much sweeter.
When it's game time though, right? It's time to focus,
oh,
that's
yeah.
for sure. When you play some of these schools, you know, you mentioned Sidwell Friends in Hawaii. I think they're ranked like number 4 or 5 in the nation. When you play against these high level opponents that maybe aren't used to the style that Clovis West plays, right? The pressing, the fire, right? Trapping, feeling that out. That a lot of other schools, they probably just play straight up man-to-man. You know, they talk about these McDonald All-Americans that you play. You know, what do you notice about those types of games where maybe the other team, maybe that's why you're able to stay with Sidwell Friends through the first 3 quarters. But when you're playing in those types of games, what's like the biggest difference that maybe you feel, right, on the court where their style might be a little bit different?
I think the biggest difference is they're not used to people getting up in them, like, for, you know, the whole game, 32 minutes, 90, 92 feet of the floor. So they're not used to having to bring it up against pressure. You know, I'm 5'5". I'm sitting up under you the entire game as you're trying to bring it up. And I think that tires them on the other end and, you know, forces bad decisions. And we force, you know, their weakest players to take, you know, take their shots.
And that's been the game plan for Clovis West. You know, that run in 2017 that Clovis West had to the state title. I could be wrong on this, but I think Coach Campbell said they went through six different McDonald's All-Americans on their way to the state championship. And they're not used to that style, like you said, coming up in your face, guarding you full court. Pretty much every buzzer, a new sub coming in, right? They're probably used to, like, okay, this girl's going to play for 3 minutes and sub. But that's not the Clovis West way. I'm curious about this, Athena. When you go and play in these big tournaments, Washington, D.C., Hawaii, have you been to Arizona?
Yeah, we went to Arizona.
Arizona as well. Do other teams know, like, the Clovis West brand? Have you eavesdropped on anybody talking about, yeah, we're playing Clovis West. They don't look like they're super athletic, but then they come out and they're up, you know, 20-2 on a team. Have you, like, heard any little talk about that amongst coaches or players or fans of the game?
Yeah, definitely amongst, you know, coaches, players, and programs. Like, they know we're going to come out and press, but I don't think they're ever, you know, ready for it until you get into the game. Like, there's no way to simulate our pressure, and you have fresh bodies coming at you, and, you know, just playing as hard as we play. You know, we're back and forth in you the whole game. And I also think, you know, we get some of that during the game with, like, people trash talking and all that. So they really feel it.
I want to ask you too about that. There's not a lot. Is there more trash talk than people think with girls basketball? Is there a little bit out there?
There's definitely, if you see a physical play, there's probably definitely some trash talk going on there. I mean, I think it's part of the game. I think it's great. I mean, we're competitors. We're competing. You know, on the court, I want to kill you. I'm off the court, we can be friends. But, you know, on the court, we're dogs going head to head.
What's the funniest exchange you've had with a person? Or maybe just like, what did that girl say to me? Did you had any type of, you know, those moments?
I don't know.
Somebody say, like, and one to you? Or, I mean, what's the level of trash talk?
Oh, you know, this is something that happens a lot. So I'm left-handed. I go left probably about, you know, 70, 80% of the time. But I think it's just because, like I'm just used to it, and, like, subconsciously I just, you know, gravitate to that side. But I can definitely go right. So there's been games where people, you know, coaches, players, and fans are, you know, telling the girl that's guarding me, you know, force her right. And they'll open their stance up all the way to the right. You know, and I just look at them a little bit sideways and, like, you know, blow by. It's a layup, you know. So that's for me. You know, I'm looking at them as I run down the court. Like, I don't know. You can't do that.
I love it. Yeah, keep on doing it. Let's go. I'll show you what I can do. I'm curious about, let's go back a little bit last year, to the game against Clovis where you guys lost on your court, right? And it was a shock to a lot of people. I'm sure it was a shock to you. And then you guys beat them to tie for a track championship at their place, and then you beat them in the Central Section championship game. Was that just kind of describe what that moment was when you guys lost and how you guys responded to that? Was that like was there a huge coming to Jesus moment with some things, or is it just not necessarily a wake up call, but was it like, hey guys, you never know if you could be vulnerable in any night on the court?
So definitely during that game, I think we all felt, like, usually we feel in our hearts, like, deep in our hearts, we know, you know, we can win the game, whether we're down 15, you know, like we trailed Desert Vista earlier this season, and we all knew in our hearts that we could come back in that game. But the games leading up to that Clovis game before we lost, we were kind of, you know, coming out a little bit lackadaisical.
Going through the motions.
Yeah, going through the motions in the first half. So our coaches kept telling us, you know, hey, at some point you're not going to be able to overcome it. At some point, you know, the team is going to gain so much momentum and confidence, you know, from you not putting it on them at the beginning, that you're just not going to be able to overcome it in the end. So when that happened in Clovis and we saw the score, you know, us getting down and us not being able to come back, I think at some point we were like, man, like, we're not unbeatable. We're not invincible. Like, if we don't play as hard as we absolutely can, like, we're not just going to win because we got Clovis West across our chest.
But you did, right? You won the games that mattered the most. The 92-9 record that I mentioned in the opener is just amazing, right? And do you feel pressure, Athena? Like, Do you feel pressure not to lose? Is that how you feel sometimes? You're like, right? It can be a delicate balance at time, right? Playing not to lose or playing like you should dominate every game. Like, how are you able to quantify that in your mind?
Yeah, you definitely have to play with confidence. I mean, even as you say, 92-9, I could ring off about 5 games where I think we should have absolutely won the game. So, you know, I think just the confidence in your skill and your coaches and your system that, you know, any team we match up with, you know, we can beat them. That's the mentality you kind of have to have. And like I said, we've lost 9 games, and I could argue about we should have won, you know, a few of those. So.
Of course, that's a competitor in you. Yeah, you got to think that way. Is there a win, Athena, that stands out the most to you, like the most satisfying win, or maybe it hasn't happened yet?
That's a great question. There's definitely a lot in my career, especially coming in. You know, our team, we never look the biggest, the strongest, the most athletic. So I can name a bunch. You know, South Shore playing in D.C. You know, they come out, these girls from New York. They've got swagger and moxie, and they're tall and they're big and strong. And we came out, you know, some little skinny girls from Fresno, and you know, we're up 20 on them. You know, at the end of the first half. I mean, I can name, you know, the second, my sophomore year, that Valley Championship game, winning at home, you know, being able to play the Valley Championship game on our home floor, the atmosphere, the gym being packed, you know, I think Toya threw me an alley-oop at the end of the game, so I just have that vision in my head. But there's tons of games where I can think is just so satisfying because, you know, we're always doubted, always, you know, underestimated, and, you know, it's so satisfying getting those wins.
Yeah, how about for you? I said point guard / shooting guard. You're kind of a little bit of both. You mentioned you're 5'5" and a lefty, and you got the handles, you got the shake, you got the hezzy, you got all the moves in your bag. That, I tell you what, that 15-footer, you got it down pack right now, stop and pop in the keys. So that's good stuff. How do you see yourself right now on the court? You see yourself as a point guard, whatever Coach Campbell needs. You see yourself taking the shot like you did against Central, the 3-pointer, made it a 14-point game. Like, is that kind of how you see your game? I'm kind of a hybrid guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, in my natural game, you know, I'm a point guard. I'm a facilitator. You know, I have the ball in my hands. I'm getting people open shots. I know where they want it. I know where they can thrive. And I know where, you know, I can thrive also. So I always know, you know, where the ball should go. I also believe in, like, positionless basketball. So I don't technically play the point guard for Clovis West. But, you know, I'm still attacking. I'm still assisting. You know, still looking to get people in their spots to help the team score.
For sure. And I've seen it for 3+ years. It's been a lot of fun. Athena, who are some of your hoop heroes, right? Who do you like to emulate?
I'm going to first shout out Ari McDonald, you know, from Fresno, a lefty, like growing up 7th, 8th grade. That was my idol. That was the person that I thought, you know, I should model my game after. I mean, she plays just like me, left-handed, and just watching her progress from, you know, high school to college at Washington, then to Arizona, then to the WNBA, and watching how she's added so much to her game, floaters, pull-ups, you know, shooting off the dribble. Like, that's what I really admired about her, is her ability to change and grow based on, you know, what level she's at.
You have one brother?
One brother.
And no sisters?
No sisters.
All right.
One brother.
And your brother's older. Fresno Christian, very good player. Do you guys have knockdown dragouts like in the driveway with some basketball, or maybe with, you know, go run into the house crying to mom or dad about what happened? Anything like that growing up?
We definitely still have shooting competitions, but we used to, you know, go one-on-one a lot until he got a little bit bigger, a little bit more mean. Like, at some point, he just started trying to, like, kill me. Like, you know, you don't want your little sister to beat you in basketball. But we would play down in Huntington Beach at my trainer, Jason Wright. And I would play 5-on-5 with the boys. So he'll be on my team or on the other team, and all those boys are trying to kill you because they're not trying to let a girl.
They can't let, nope.
Yeah, stop you or scoring you. I mean, I remember one time I was getting up in this boy, and he was just so mad that he just raised up and dunked on me. And, like, I was like, dang. But, you know, it's great because, you know, they're just so much more competitive and really physical, and it's just, you know, great for training in your game.
Hey, but if he dunked on you, it was only worth whatever you're playing, ones and twos, right?
Right?
If you could just come out and bust a 2 or 3 on him.
I mean,
that's
right?
How you do it.
I mean, you're trying to flex on me. I'm 5'5".
That's
like.
Right. That's right. That's right. And you are left-handed. Do you do everything left-handed? Do you, you know, do you write left-handed? Do you draw left-handed? Everything's left-handed?
Well, I actually am a painter, so I do, like, art and painting. So I'll paint with my right hand a lot. I think because like it's not writing and stuff that I've learned for like years and years that I'm able to like paint with both hands. But I really try to be more ambidextrous, especially as I'm trying to, you know, go write more and do more things to my right hand.
So you're a painter and you're an artist. So yeah. Is Coach Campbell. Have you been in his classes?
Oh, yeah. Well,
is he as hard as you on your artwork as he is on your basketball game?
He's hard on everyone in the class in the from the artwork perspective. Like, he really expects quality work, like hard work. Like, you need to follow all the directions and everything. So he's very, very detailed in both of his aspects. Like
I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see that. That's awesome. You're an artist. All right, Athena, we only got about a minute here. Boston College, right? You have a 4.5 GPA. It's known for its academics, and obviously you're going to be playing basketball. That's awesome. Why did you choose Boston College?
I want to say the first thing is the culture and the celebration of hard work. Like, one of their first pillars that they told me about is we respect people that, you know, get in the gym and want to work hard, and that reflects my values so much. Like, I love people who appreciate that. Secondly, you know, Coach Mack and the staff, they've all played basketball. Coach Mack is my height, so I just had a lot of respect for her, and I have a lot of confidence that she's going to be able to teach me the things that I need to know, because, you know, she's done it. She's done it at my height, at my position, so I know she knows the things that I'll need to adjust to when I get there.
Well, sounds like a perfect fit. All right, one more thing. What are you gonna study there at Boston College? Have you declared a major? What are you interested in?
Yeah, I want to do biology. I want to do bio. So I really want to challenge myself. Both my parents are doctors, and I want to kind of follow in their footsteps.
Oh, perfect answer. All right. Athena Tomlinson, Clovis West, star guard. I've watched her for 3+ years, headed to Boston College. Work's not done. Not finished here at Clovis West. She's still got a track championship and her heart set on a Central Section championship and a nice run through state. Athena, awesome to talk to you. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. A lot of fun. All right. Athena Tomlinson from Clovis West. Coming up next, after the break, we're going to be talking with Bullard Boys basketball coach Tim Amundson here on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour, every weekday at 2 p.m. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon on the east side of Blackstone. It's had a really good conversation with Athena Tomlinson. You know, I mentioned it to her. I'm like, the kids that I'm able to watch throughout their entire careers, especially on the varsity level, grow from freshman year to now senior, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to do that. And I've done it with Athena and seen her play some really big basketball games and obviously win 3 Central Section championships. So she's one of the good ones. She's one of those kids you root for. And got Coach Tim Amundson here. Always root for him as well. Bullard Boys basketball coach, now 6-0 in the CMAC, defeated Sanger last night. 18-7 on the year. Does that sound about right, Coach?
Yep.
18-7 on the season. Friend of the show. You come on every year. Always enjoy our conversation. So how's your Saturday going, Tim? Got the little hoopsters going on in the Bullard? You left the little ones to come here.
It's always good after a win.
It's always good after a win.
That determines our mood the next weekend. All weekend long, yeah.
You've had a good week. You had 2 away games. You probably looked at the schedule like, oh, this is going to be a tough week. At San Joaquin Memorial game, we broadcasted that you guys came back and won by a point, 67-66. And then last night in Sanger, I didn't know you guys were down. I just saw the final score. You won by 4 points, 69-65. But you were down in both games, but you guys somehow found a way to win those.
Yeah, character building, and it shows I'm really proud of our kids. It's not, you know, they stay together, and they looked bleak at times in both games, and no quit, and they just keep fighting and trying to do the right things, and fortunately, we came out on top both games.
Let's go to that Memorial game.
That block of games was what we talked about last week, where we had Edison home. We went to the Bay Area to play Western Ranch at 10 o'clock at night on a 3.5-hour drive in the rain, and then we had Memorial at Memorial and Sanger at Sanger, and we kind of knew our goal was 3-1. Let's go 3-1, and we accomplished that goal last night. I'm really happy and proud of what the kids did this week.
The 3 league games, right, matter the most.
More,
I mean, flush that Western Ranch game. That was just we don't even want to talk about that game.
I'm going to say poor scheduling put that one on me.
Okay.
I told the kids that. Absolutely.
Blame the coach.
It was really tough that we had no energy, no juice in that game, and they came out. You know, they're a good team. I think we can play with them. We just it was our kids. We knew in warmups we could just tell we had no juice.
Yeah, I mean. What, supposed to start at 9:30, ends up starting at 10?
10.
Jeez,
yeah.
That's...
And if I'd have known it was 9:30 originally, I wouldn't have. Originally, we were 4. But they're flying in prep schools, and they had to get on flights to get out, so they bumped us later after I took the game. I wouldn't have taken it if I'd known it was going to be like that.
No. But Memorial, you guys found yourself up big. I think it was 24-12 at one point, down 9 with about 3.5 minutes left. You guys win by 1.
How
you
about
know,
that? Down 9.
Down
3.5 9. To go again.
Pitch a shutout the rest of the game.
Talk about toughness, mental toughness, and grinding out a win. Really, really special.
And you guys needed plays, obviously, to win that game. Every possession mattered. You know, turnover by Memorial here, you got to get a bucket, and you certainly did. Let's talk about that final play. When Dalen Felder made the layup off the pass from Javance. What were you hoping to do? You guys are down 1, I think about 15 seconds. Coming out of a timeout, I believe.
Yes.
Coming out of timeout?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Yeah,
yeah. I know you've had a long week of basketball, but yeah. So trying to get Javance getting downhill. He's dangerous when he gets downhill, and he found Dalen for the layup.
So we actually ran a play with 2 options, and the third option was a drag to Dalen, and they took away the first 2 options, and then it's just to get downhill. And the way they were helping, the weak side was always open. And in fact, we should have probably done it more throughout that game. But Javance found Dalen, and Dalen made a big play. He got downhill and finished over the big kid.
He did.
Davis, which is a heck of a finish. And we needed every bit of that.
And Sanger, last night, you guys were down again in that game, but you pulled it out. What were some of the keys to that game?
Well, early we jumped up, and then they took a couple timeouts, and they slowly – I think they took the lead early in the second, and then we were down – I felt like we were down 8-10 the whole second half. We're down a couple of guys, an injury, and a guy was homesick, and we were a little deeper into our bench, and all the guys came through. But always for us at Sanger, they always, again, they're well coached, they're gritty, they got size, and always a tough game. I was more worried about this game even before the Memorial game. Win or lose Memorial, I was more worried about this game because I know we're good enough to beat them, but the way they play there. It makes you uncomfortable. They're tough. It was physical. I thought the officials were great, by the way, in the last 2 games. Shout out to the officials. But hard games to call because both games were extremely physical. The crowd's loud. It was fun. But what they killed us on was second shots last night. I think they had 26 points on rebound putbacks. That's, if you'd have told me that ahead before the game, I'd have told you we lost by 10.
Yeah.
So we overcame that, but that's something we had to fix.
And Keyshawn Johnson, you got to be pleasantly surprised with his progress.
He
and he's played
great
really
week
well this year.
At Memorial, I was so proud of that kid. He's growing up so much and playing big games. The last 2 games, he was really good for us.
He's got the long arms. Yeah. I mean, what, 6'3", 6'4"?
I'd say he's a little over 6'4", yes.
A little over 6'4".
With his arms, he's about 6'6", 6'7". And he knows how to use his length. He's very good at it.
And somebody had a big steal for you guys in the Memorial games.
It was a combination of Keyshawn and James Miranda.
Okay. I think Miranda picked it off, but Keyshawn might have tipped it. If I would have told you, though, Coach, that you guys were 6-0 at this point, obviously you knew you're gonna have some help with some additions being on your team in late December. 6-0, would you have been – yeah, I can see that, or you'd be pleasantly surprised, or what would be the way to frame
it? Well, I thought we can definitely – it's hard to – you know, all league games, they're well-scouted. Yeah. Teams know each other. You got to play home and away, and a lot of the games get closer in league. It's just the way it is because the kids and the teams know each other so well, and they take away your strengths, and you got to find kind of how they're gonna play you. Like, I thought Memorial did a good job of defending us the way we play, and it took us a while to figure it out, and you know, again, we're pretty small, so the teams of size have been bothering us a little bit. But 6-0, I thought it was achievable, but I could see us being 4-2 too. Like, I'd have been okay with 4-2, but I'm really happy with 6-0.
What's the team doing really well now, and what do you hope to improve on the next?
We're more consistent in how we defend at a high level. I think we're defending really well, and we're mixing it up between trapping and man. We're more man now, and we have a lot of length. We don't have size, we have length, and a lot of guys. James Miranda's was, I don't know how many he scored last night, but he was a freaking stud in that game. And you noticed, I think he had 6 steals, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. And we put him on Julius for Memorial. And he always guards the best player and does an outstanding job. And he's a 6'4 point guard. So he brings the ball up and he's guarding the best player and he distributes and he's led us in rebounding multiple games.
And he's one of the, right? I mean, you don't hear his name a lot. And he's just one of those glue guys.
Well, everybody
right,
that focuses on scoring. He's making winning plays.
Yeah.
That people, like the coaches know, and we point it out after every game. We do want him to be more aggressive offensively because he has that ability to do more. He's just such a nice, it's his personality. We want him to be more of an alpha on offense. From saying that, he's phenomenal rebounding. He was getting rebounds, chasing them down over their bigs and winning them. Like he played a great game last night and against Memorial.
And you're right. You're outsized, so to speak, against Memorial. And Sanger's got a couple big guys. And, you know, that one guy, he's not very tall for Sanger. He says he's one of your favorite players in the league to watch. He moves
yes.
his body and
yes.
do a little bit inside-outside stuff. He's one of those almost like a throwback kind of guy, right,
yeah.
with the post play.
I watched him score 30 at Central, 30-plus in a game at Central. And I watched Edison, he had like 25. I mean, so I'm at those games, I'm just – one, he's very skilled. He knows how to play. Two, Sanger does a very good job of getting him the ball where he can have success.
I think, and he's only a junior, I believe. We're talking about.
Darn it.
Yep, only a junior. But you got
him two more times. You know, he's a good, I told him last night when we were shaking hands, I said, you're my favorite player in this league that we have to play against. I just like the way he plays.
That's a great compliment, man. You don't probably give those compliments very often, right? Somebody sticks out. You're like, I got to go tell this kid, man. I like your game. Do you do that often, or is that special?
If someone really impresses me, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Caleb Ramirez is his name, junior, 6'3".
Yep.
This says 6'3", but he plays a little bit bigger.
He plays bigger. And he hit 6'3"s at Central. He can shoot the darn ball. That's on our scouting report. He shot one last night. We did a good job of taking that away, but he can shoot as well.
And you got a couple of good guards, sophomores. You talk about this kid from Sanger's a junior, but your sophomore guards are pretty darn good and fun to watch. Dalen Felder and Javance Coleman. What do those guys bring to the table?
Dalen's a scorer. We're working on doing the other things, but he's had a couple of games where he's had 6-7 assists, and we're trying to get him to rebound more, and he's doing that. And he was big last – I think it was 8-for-9 from the line down the stretch.
He's a good free throw shooter. He's probably like a 95%.
By the way,
he
went in the game at 96%, and
wow.
It might have dropped a little bit because he went 8-for-9. So
he
I think
did.
He's like 34 for 36 in that area on the year now. And last night we needed them all. Big, and then he hit a big three late. Sam Allen hit a big three late and had a big free throw late. So we had some different guys step in and play really well for us.
What does Javance do that impresses
you?
He's
our leader, our heart and soul, our energy. He keeps the team together. He runs the team. He knows all the plays. He knows wherever he's supposed to be. He can score when we need him to score, and he leads us in assists. And he's a pretty good rebounder for a point guard. And so he does all those things. And unfortunately, he went down with an injury in the second quarter last night. So we're hoping he's going to be all right. We don't know yet.
Talking with Tim Amundson, head boys basketball coach at Bullard. So you've coached at Central. You've coached at Clovis East. Now, obviously, now at Bullard, you've seen.
Don't forget Hoover.
Okay, I can't forget Hoover. All right, who else? Where else? Let's go ahead.
Assistant
Let's go
at West,
it.
Assistant at Clovis High, assistant at City College Girls. Assistant at Fresno Pacific 1 year.
And a bunch of AAU stuff.
Girls AAU for like 15 years, yes.
And you coached Athena.
I
Thomas
yeah,
just
she's,
on
I
the
had
show,
the,
right?
the privilege of coaching her for a few tournaments. She jumped in with us. What a great kid she is.
And obviously your daughters as well. I want to talk about them in just a minute here, Coach. I want to ask you, what in your mind, what's the difference? A lot of talk between the CMAC and the track, right? I mean, those are the two most prominent leagues around here. I know the Bakersfield schools. I know Tri-County is a fun league with Selma, Emanuel, Kingsburg, all those teams. But the comparison between the track and the CMAC, you know, how do you view it? Is one league more, you know, up and down, you know, with North and West? Or, you know, to me, Clovis East could be a CMAC school in regards to basketball, the way that Coach Wiggins plays. Am I wrong on this stuff, or how would you compare the two leagues?
How do you compare? Like, who's better?
No, not necessarily. Just like the style. Let's talk style of play. Like preparing for teams in the track compared to preparing teams in the CMAC.
I think there's a lot of good coaches in both leagues. I think they all work very hard. And I think it's very competitive. It's kind of year to year. I'd say the last few years, when I first got to Bullard at the top heavy, I thought we were a little bit better Memorial than us. We were very good the first 5-6 years. the last 4 or 5 years, North and West have been really good. So the top, I think they've been a little bit better, but we've had the depth. Like, for example, I think North and West are a little bit better than our top teams right now, but we'd go in and play them in a playoff game and see how we do now. We're better now than we were early. Middle, it's interesting. I think Singer's beaten Buchanan, Clovis Central. Mm-hmm. Madera beat Clovis High. We got East in a close game. We were down big in that game and came back
Modesto,
and won
right?
that. Yeah. Singer played East down to the wire. That was a tough game. So those two were all pretty close after the top two, I think. Buchanan didn't play anybody in our league other than Singer, so I don't know enough about them right now. And then, again, East is very solid as well. So I think I think our top four are pretty good.
Yeah.
And their top two are elite. So I think, and again, to me, the section, it's St. Joe's, West, and North. And to me, I had that. I could have told you that last summer. I had them in that little three, and I thought we were in that next four. And our top end goal is to be number four seed, and we didn't want to be lower than seven. That was our goal, somewhere between four and seven. And I think that you throw Bakersfield Christian in that group, Centennial, Clovis East, all those teams go anyway. That's kind of what we're playing right now.
You know, we talk about playoffs a lot.
Sandwich Memorial, obviously.
Memorial's there,
yes.
Too, Centennial.
I had Memorial early at four, and they still could finish there depending on how we finish. So that's kind of playing out the way I saw it.
And right with the playoffs now as they are, and Gabe made a case, it could pop out that way with the computer system. Clovis North could be the one seed because strength of schedule and all that. We wouldn't be surprised if Clovis North ends up getting the one. It's crazy.
Funny, last year we were right up there in strength of schedule with North, and we both didn't get paid off for it. Now they switched the algorithm.
Yeah.
And so that was, if this was last year, so we would have been the eight last year. We had to go to Mission Prep. And on the road, which you want to get a home playoff game. That's the goal as well, a home one or two. I could see North being the one, absolutely.
Yeah, it could happen.
But I think they deserve it, too. It depends on how they got to play West again and how that plays out. We'll see, but North's very good.
On the same night.
Those three teams, in the last couple of years have been in the two-point games at St. Joe's, West, North, right? Those games are all down to the wire.
Must-see basketball.
One or two possessions, absolutely.
How fun is it to watch your nephews?
Oh, love
McKay
it.
McKay and
love
Connor.
It. Well, I know how hard they work. Our whole family, all these kids are gym rats. So it's almost like they're not going to – they have no choice but to succeed. They put a lot of time in. They work hard. They have the right mindset. They're okay with struggling and working on things. And a lot of kids don't like to work on things they're not good at. They don't want to go through the struggle of failure and not and grinding through something to get better at it. And that's kind of way it is now with kids a little bit. More than even 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. So the kids that grind, they're going to be – they put the time in the gym, you're going to be rewarded for it at some point.
Well, do you find yourself when you're either watching on Huddle or watching live?
So when I can't see them live, I get all the film and I watch them.
So like this weekend,
tonight and tomorrow, my wife and I will be watching a bunch of North games because I didn't get to see them play this week. So we play the same night. So I want to see my – and I'm watching my daughters today, and I'll probably watch North tomorrow. And then I get a scout too. Like I'm watching my nephews, but I'm scouting the track. So it's fun. I enjoy it.
This is a great time in life for you, man. You're living your best life right now, aren't you?
I love it.
So let's talk about your daughter. So let's talk about Lainey and Tess. Where are they at right now? And talk about, what they're doing with basketball.
So Lainey's still playing at Cal State Northridge, playing a lot of minutes, doing all right. The team's struggling a little bit. So I got to do a little counseling after games. I actually drove out after our practice on Thursday night. They were at Bakersfield State. So I got to go watch her play. She played well. They lost. They had to lead most of the game and lost. But she's played. I keep telling her to enjoy it. They're going through a 14-game losing streak, which is tough. So, again, you'll come out of it a better person. It's a struggle. Keep playing the right way, and eventually you'll be rewarded. And so a lot of counseling sessions after games. And then Tess is playing in Sweden right now, doing very well professionally. I think 8 of her last 9 games, she scored over 30 points. So she'll move up to a higher league next year. And she's looking forward to that, and she's enjoying herself playing. So my wife and I watch her every Saturday online.
That's fun. Yeah. How did she end up in Sweden?
She had a bunch of offers, like different. We got an agent, so she signed an agent after college, and she had a bunch of options, and she chose Sweden. She thought it'd be pretty cool to Stockholm. And then now she's already been contacted probably by 7 or 8 people, agents that want to sign her to move her up. And then I think she's – it's not a done deal, but I'm hearing she's going to get a chance at a WNBA camp next summer.
Wow.
So her agent's telling us that. So we'll see. Not official yet.
Yeah.
But it came in a good time because she's being away from home is lonely, and she got to come home for Christmas, which was great. All my daughters are home for Christmas, and we got that news, so she's fired up to go back and keep working on her game.
And her game is just, I mean, 3-point pick and roll. I mean, how's she getting her buckets?
Oh, she shoots it, but she's getting to the basket a lot more. And it's fun to watch because it's 24-second shot clock, very different. It's more concept. You don't have time to run complex offenses. You got to get the ball moving and get a shot up. So she's shooting three really well. She's getting the free throw line a little bit, and she's getting the basket a lot more.
All three levels. What part of your game did she inherit?
Oh, she's a way better player than I was. By the way, you know what I'm most proud of? All my kids are better than I was. That was the goal. I'm a D2 Fresno. I was a good player, a good shooter, but all four of my kids do other things better than I did, for sure. Well, all three daughters went D1, and my son went D same level as me, but he went as a freshman out of high school. I went after JC. So pretty special.
It is special, and we're going to have, after you, Coach Abinson, we got Coach C.J. Haydock from Fresno Pacific here as well. So this is awesome.
I didn't see him walk in.
There he is. You can't miss the orange.
Yeah.
The orange certainly stands out. But, yeah, you know, you and I are at Fresno Pacific at the same time. We've talked about it on air as well. But that was just a really neat time for you, right? You mentioned you're, you know, kind of in between what you wanted to do in life. You play a little JC. You're a little bit older, and then you find your way to Fresno Pacific.
One of the best things that ever happened to me is going to Fresno Pacific, for sure.
Why is that?
We're from the Bay Area. We grew up, and my brother Ty and I were looking for a place to play, and we couldn't get a sniff at Cal State Hayward or San Francisco State. And these schools are huge. And I met Coach Moore at Hoop It Up. We were on the Hoop It Up tour playing a lot nationally. And he told me I could still play basketball. And I go, no way. So I literally on the plane flight back from Texas, and I met Donnie Johnson, Troy Brown, Scott Patterson there, all Fresno Pacific alumni. And we played them in the national tournament. Don't worry, we beat them. And then I sent Coach Moore my transcripts. On next year, I move out. I'm going to City College to take the classes I need. I moved in with Scott Patterson, and Ty and I came out here. But when we came on our visit, we kind of walked up the front. It's much bigger now. We kind of laughed. We walked in the lobby of the gymnasium, and we were like, this is small compared to the college, the D2s in the Bay Area. And we saw a picture of Coach Moore. We thought he looked like Sonny Bono. I tell him this all the time. So we're just laughing and crying. Then we had our recruit day all day, and we decided to come in and play. And it was the best experience. I loved it. All my best friends, all the guys I played with are principals, coaches, teachers are great. They're all over the place doing good things with kids.
Last week I had Josh Bergman on the show.
Tony just talked to me, ran into him somewhere a couple of weeks ago, and I said, Josh, love Josh. He played with us.
He's the head coach at CVC.
That's right. I didn't even know that, by the way, because he wasn't coaching for a while.
He's kind of doing some AU stuff with some of his sons. So he's found his way as well. So that was a really cool time in life, that's for sure. You mentioned 3-on-3, the Hoop It Up, the tournament, the circuit. I played in a little bit, obviously not at the Top Gun level. Is that what they call it?
Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Open Division,
yeah, Top Gun. Yeah, what's a cool story you got from Hoop It Up, right? What stands out to you? Was there a moment?
We got to play against a lot of ex-NBA guys and high-level D1s and beat them. So we have like a whole list of guys. Like Lorenzo Romar we beat.
Yeah.
And he played for the Warriors, Golden State Warriors, and he's still coaching.
Yeah.
Ray Townsend played at UCLA and with the Warriors. Wayne Ingolstadt played at UC Irvine and for the Denver Nuggets. So we have all these guys that we beat on the tour. It was hard on the families, the wife, because I was traveling on weekends and playing with all my little ones at home. So bless my heart, Wendy. For a lot of traveling, so we flew all over the country to play. So when we started winning, they just flew us everywhere to play. And I think we made the national tournament 14 straight years.
Wow.
We made the national championship game twice.
And then at the end,
at the end, we had Spain, Germany, Puerto Rico. It was a worldwide tournament at the end. And we're playing guys that were speaking different languages. It was awesome.
But the language of the 3-point shot, right? That's where you killed them.
So worth twos and ones were worth ones.
Plays your advantage.
Free throws are one. And so the bigger teams, Troy Brown and I always had to guard big, but they had to chase us around the 3-point line. And, you know, my brother Tony can play. So we shot the ball really well. We played together. We played together better than most teams.
In those national championships, you said two, right? You made it 3-on-3. Who Was it the same team that you played with? You played with four, well, three
my,
on three, but you got four
my
guys.
My two brothers, Tony, Ty, and I, and then we had different guys. Troy Brown played with us a bunch. Tim Butler, good friend of mine, played 6'6". Brian Volnick played with us a lot. So just depending when, what time period it was. All great guys, great competitors, but we always played together.
Yeah.
And no ego involved, and we'd pick and roll, slip screens, play basketball. And it was physical as heck because you're on the concrete. Yep. I've had both hips replaced, and I believe it's because of all the years on the concrete and diving. But great times, great times.
Who's the best high school basketball player you've ever seen? A couple stand out to me, right?
When I was at Clovis East, we beat James Harden at Artesia. We beat him. That was probably our biggest win against a player like that. So probably James Harden.
What did he did he still score like 36?
He was young. So I think he was a sophomore. So I think he had like 21 and 10. We beat him by 17. They had a 7-footer. It was one of our best wins ever in my run at Clovis East.
So Harden, I mean, some of the local guys too, right?
Jalen Green, Deshaun Stevens, Deshaun. The twins, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have some really good players come out of this area.
Absolutely, man. We're
still
slept on a little
still
bit.
Doing it in the NBA. It's great.
They are. I think Jalen scored. He scored 36.
Yeah, he's just
the other day. He's quite a talent.
He can do whatever he wants now.
We got a couple minutes here, Coach. I always like to ask you a couple. We talked about your family, some personal things, and your time at Clovis East, and you know Hoover. Can't forget Hoover. Is there something off the court? Is there a special hidden talent that you have not related to basketball that you want to share? Like, can you cook?
No.
Can you fix anything? Have you ever tried an instrument or anything like that?
I'm a basketball junkie. I don't think I have too many other. You know, like taking my grandson to the movies or my daughters. But I don't really have anything. It's all basketball.
It's all basketball all the time.
And I enjoy it, yeah.
There's no like movies that you really enjoy
Netflix I like going to the movies with my wife or my kids, and of course they're all growing up and out now. So now it's my grandson, him and I will go every couple of weeks and find something to watch. And as far as any special hobby, no, it's just all ball all the time.
All ball all the time. Yeah. Good. All right, I got one more question. We'll leave you with this. Bullard will be in the hunt for the D1 title if what? What do you guys have to do?
Oh. Cut down our live ball turnovers. We have young turnovers that lead to layups and holding teams at one shot, those two areas. If we cut down, so early in the year, we were turning it over 20, 25 times a game. Last 7-8 games, right in the beginning of the league, we're down to 14 a game. And lately, we're being between 10 and 12. So I like to get under 10 a game we're playing 6 sophomores and a freshman a little bit. We're pretty young. So we get in the air still a little bit, and live ball turns into layups really quick against good teams, especially the top three. You turn it over, it's a layup or a dunk.
Exactly.
So, and then one shot, and we got killed on that last night. As I said, 26 points. We'll be doing that all week next week. And we do it all the time, working on blocking out. It's just caring about it. It's a detail that you do your job. And if we get better at that, we'll be all right.
So the four remaining games, Justin Garza, Madera, Edison, and then the big one on February 9th, big one, because it's always a big rivalry game, San Joaquin Memorial. Tim, always always great catching up with you. Love running into you. Do a fantastic job, and thanks for coming in today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Always enjoy it.
Yep. All right, coming up next, FPU. We got Coach CJ Haydock. He's here live at First String Sports. Going to catch up with him coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
1430 ESPN, home of March Madness.
Really good conversation with Tim Amundson. I kind of had a feeling he was going to go there when I asked him, what are your other hobbies or something that might surprise you? Like, no, I'm basketball through and through, man. It's an Amundson thing, that's for darn sure. But Coach Amundson and obviously his brother Tony, what they're doing here in the Valley for basketball, I mean, it's fun, right? It's fun to watch. Let me fix this here. There we go. Fun to be a part of as well. And the Fresno Pacific connections certainly run deep. And we have the men's head basketball coach, Fresno Pacific, CJ Haydock. They're playing their best basketball of the year right now, right? Is it safe to say that? 4-game winning streak, right? I mentioned in my opener, I couldn't believe it when I saw it, do my research on you. All right, they're playing Westmont. What the heck happened? Wait a second. One overtime, two, three, four overtimes, 95-94. read the story, three buzzer beaters. That's about as wild as a game as possible. They play tonight, 4:30, right? 4:30 Special Event Center against the Bible Institute of L.A.'s, the Biolas. Thanks for coming in.
They allow you to swear on air like that? So it, on our campus, Biola is a swear word, so I don't know if Gabe's got to edit it back in the studio.
No, it's fine. It's an acronym. I don't even remember when I realized it was an acronym. It's not like there's the Biola over here, right? The little town or community or something, but that's it's different.
It's an acronym,
It's an acronym. Yeah. All right, I always got to beat acronyms.
And a swear word.
And a swear word as well. All right, Siege, I want to open with this. We're definitely going to talk about a lot of fun stuff. It's when we catch up, when we see each other at games and life moments and shows and all that stuff, we talk basketball. We also talk a little bit of life. What's something that's going on in your life without the word basketball?
What's going on? Oh boy!
Huh?
I mean, then you're just gonna let me be
a kid.
You're gonna let me be a gushing father? Is that
the plan? A little bit, right? You're a human
man.
You're a father.
Well, first of all, in basketball, like I limped over here, like I got a flat tire, I need an oil change, I have no gas because this is like what happens in. I know I used the word basketball. Sorry. This is what happens in season when you're on the grind. We're on, but it's okay. I got an 11 or 8 year old that I'm just so proud of. I just think there's no sweeter time in life than fatherhood at that age. My daughter's running around on a dance team and in gymnastics, and she's Mowgli in a production of Jungle Book, and my son just got done down at Roger Rocca's performing in A Christmas Story.
Nice.
Where he was, you know, the kid that licks the pole.
Yeah.
Flick. That was my
Youth
son.
Flick. All right.
Yeah, so my kids have the drama bug. He just got done playing hoop. You know, I think that's one of the cool things about Fresno is there's so many opportunities here for young people and for us with our kids. Like, hey, let's just go enjoy all the things. This morning, it's a game day. I was up at 8 over at Clovis East watching my daughter run around in little hoopsters. And Coach Mantle doing a great job over there with them. And, you know, there's just activity to activity, activity. And I'm not sure it gets better than that. You can tell me it does in fatherhood than the age we're at right now is pretty sweet.
It's great, right? It's great. Enjoy every moment when you walk in through the door. They're probably still at the age where they're running up to you, giving you some hugs, loving on you. You could throw them around a little bit on the couch and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great time.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
All right, so let's include the word basketball now.
Okay.
I mentioned you guys are a little bit of a heater, right? Four games in a row. Let's talk about that Westmont game first, and then, you know, how the season has turned around, so to speak. So Westmont, right? How do you quantify that game?
I don't know. So we finished the game. It was a 3.5-hour game, 4 overtimes, 3 buzzer beaters.
At home.
Thank God. That would have been a long bus ride home. I was trying to reflect. Like, I've been at this so long that it all blurs together. That may be as many buzzer beaters as I've had for a team in my career in one game. Like, it was insane. And it's a testament to the character of our guys. Like, we really, really pride ourselves on coaching a certain kind of kid. And, you know, we were down 6 with 58 seconds to go in a third overtime. And we only have one true point guard on our roster. And he played 56 minutes on Thursday night. And, like, he handles the ball. He's the ball handler for us and gets asked to guard the other team's best ball handler. So just a war from him. And I think, like, at this point in our season, and then, you know, we have these two sophomores that have kind of come of age, and that game kind of proved it. I think Isaac Peralta had 28 or 29, and, like, 5, 5, 5, 5, and 5 have filled all the stat categories. And then we have this other sophomore from Modesto named Kyle Monk, which for us, we include Modesto in the Valley. I know that's a controversial decision, but that's Valley people to us. So Kyle's like one of our Valley boys. And I think he made 5 of his 6 threes in the game, all with less than a minute left in either regulation or one of the overtime. So just big time shot after big time shot after big time shot. And so it's hard to describe. I got to the film, right? So like now you play a game and a half. Now film takes twice as long.
Sure.
So it was like 1:30 on Friday morning and I was getting through our film edits. And I got to the third overtime where we were down 6 with 59 seconds to go. And I literally couldn't remember. Like, I'm like, I know we win this game. I have no idea what the next 59 seconds holds. I just know that it's utter chaos.
Yeah.
And so just an all-timer for sure and very fun to be a part of and really proud of our team.
And before that, you beat Point Loma, Concordia, and Zusa. And in my mind, those were big-time games, man.
Murder Rose. Yeah.
So what's been the key? What's been the key to this resurgence here in these games?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we have a vision for our program that we really believe in. And, you know, we think basketball is bigger than basketball. We think it's relationships and we think it's holistic development. And so we choose to be young over and over again. So we've played 5 freshmen in our top 10 the entire year. we've only played three guys with game experience. And so the first semester we got off to a rough start, but we're top three in the conference in defense the whole way. We just had a little rough side on the offensive scoring the ball. And, you know, I think like our guys, we've over, you know, this is my eighth year at FPU. We've created a really strong sense of community. We have people that are really invested in us. And so the people that know what we're about and where we're going could always see it. They always knew. Our alumni who text us every game, our season ticket holders, which is the most we've ever had, our administration, our faculty, our students, all always knew, like, hey, it's like coming for you guys, right? We lose a couple games at the buzzer. We do some of those things. We always knew. And then we also hit some health stuff during that. But we really invested in a couple things. We knew we had to be better at rim conversion rate and shoot the ball better from three. And in the last 10 games, we're shooting 10% better in the paint than we have been. And we're shooting 10% better from three while taking less, which is really the reason we're shooting better, is we're not taking bad ones. But that was always going to be the case. You play that young team, like, you got to let them develop and grow through it. And I know, like, hot take culture, like, we have some local people who love to misrepresent and antagonize our program anytime we're in a down slump. But, like, this is our motto. We take freshmen and we grow them and we let them rock when they're young and we develop. And sometimes that has growing pains. Sometimes that's thin. You know, we have the brightest young core in the league. It's not close. We've played the hardest strength of schedule in the league. Those guys have been tried through fire. So I don't know what the next 11 games hold, but I know we have exactly the young guys to take us where we want to go. And I also know in a culture that wants glorification and instant results, that we're going to hold fast and true to what it takes, and we're going to produce unbelievable young men as a byproduct, right? You hear Tim Amundsen before me on the radio talk about his experience at Fresno Pacific. That is the Fresno Pacific idea. And if you want to know who the most influential basketball program, not only in high school in the Valley, I'll find you a connection on every single staff. And that's a testament to people that came way below me. But, like, we have the most influence on high school basketball in the Valley historically. And it's not close.
It's not
because
close.
We develop young people. And so if that means we lose some games and some people are upset by that, then I'm living. And in our locker room, our belief has been unbelievable, and we're going to the same place. And the first time we did this, we took all freshmen. We won 7 games our first year, and their junior and senior year, we're top 25 in the country, make the first national tournament in school history, and we'll do it again. There's no doubt in our minds. And so I'm just really proud of the guys I get to coach. It's easy for freshmen to hear outside noise and all those things. It's a testament to their character and their investment in understanding that long-term investments get long-term results.
And you heard it, like you mentioned, with Tim, and the list is long. I talked about it on my show last week. I'm not going to, say everybody again, but there are a ton of people, including, you know, in the early 90s and even in the late 90s and the early 2000s, where the reach is plenty at different levels of basketball. You can't walk into a gym. I can't walk into a gym without having some type of connection to that time, to that era, the old coaches, and then we're watching their kids. So it's an incredible cycle. So it's just amazing. It absolutely is.
Yep.
We're definitely not, understating it. I mean, it's a real thing out there. And Coach, I know you don't want to talk about yourself that much, right? But Westmont, the win against Westmont, it was your 79th win, tying for third place in program history with John Moore, who coached Tim, ironically, right? You know, I mean, how cool is that, right? You tie John Moore, who's a legend.
Yeah.
He coached 27 years at Westmont College, just recently retired, now helping his brother-in-law, Steve Lavin, right?
Yeah, at University of San Diego, yeah.
Look at that. How cool is that? But you know, I mean, that's just really neat stuff. It's a testament to you. It's a testament to the program and people that believe in you as well. But, you know, what does that mean to you?
Means a lot. I'll tell you a John Moore story in a second. But we talk about legacy, right? Like, I would argue that maybe we have this litany of coaches in the history of FPU who have as much influence on West Coast small college basketball as anywhere. So obviously John Moore goes and has an NAIA Hall of Fame career. At Westmont, we play Biola today. Dr. Dave Holmquist is like 8th all time in college wins, over 1,000 wins. Got his start at Fresno Pacific. Cal Poly Pomona, traditional D2 powerhouse. Greg Kamansky spent time at Fresno Pacific, right? Ron Adams, working for the Warriors, been assistant coach of the NBA for 3 or 4 times. Fresno Pacific. So there's just this like long litany of that. When I was 20, so we won't bore your listeners, but you know well that Chris Schultz is my mentor and was my coach at Fresno Christian and also worked for John Moore. And so he was on his second go around and I was an assistant for him, just getting started at this coaching thing, mainly because there wasn't anything that like lit my heart on fire like basketball, right? So I was like 20 and had way more passion than wisdom. And Schultz had worked for John Moore. And I was just like trying to figure it out, had no idea. And Schultz got me on. John Moore used to send out to like his alum, this is, you know, 2007. So emails like just like really taken off, right? And he had just started this like email coaches corner that was like really personal. It was to his alumni, it was to his former coaches and all those things. And it was like post-game reflections that was very authentic. It was very deep. It definitely went over my head most days. But Coach Schultz got me on that email newsletter when I was 20 and just figuring it out. And so, and then, you know, I end up at Fresno Pacific and John Moore's been incredible to me, checks in with me every 6 months or a year and pours into me and bounces stuff. I can bounce stuff off him. And so, yeah, when I discovered that I had pulled even with him Thursday, that's just for a dude who was a Division V high school assistant, just trying to figure it out. You know, 16 years later, that blows my mind and really humbles me. And just as a testament to the dudes we have in our program. So
John Moore, you got a story, you said? Was that the story?
That email story, yeah.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
And, you know, talk about Vance Wahlberg. He was on the show a couple weeks ago. Nate Oates, who was a high school coach, emailed Vance. And Vance has said, he's like, if anybody ever emails me, I don't care what level of that. They're at. I'm going to email him back. Nate Oates was a high school coach, emailed him. Wahlberg emailed him. Now he's the head coach at Alabama. All right. You did mention Ron Adams.
Yeah.
All right. And a lot of people forget. Yeah. Ron Adams played at Fresno Pacific. He was there and coached for a little bit as well. Defensive minded guy. I mean, he's an all timer, isn't he?
Oh, man. All timer. Ron, when I got hired, when the press release went out in April or whatever, 8 years ago. The next morning I woke up to a 1 a.m. email from Ron Adams that was 3 pages of, this is what Fresno means to me. This is what Fresno Pacific means to me. Everything I have is tied into some learning from his undergrad. One of the most meaningful emails I've ever gotten. And then as available as any mentor I've ever had, you know, check in every 6 months, came to a game a couple years ago, comes and speaks to our team. When we run a coaching clinic that's pretty popular, he come and speak to it anytime he's available. You know, I just think there's this unbelievable collection of Fresno legends that care so much about Fresno basketball, right? Like we say Dave Severance, if you know that name, coach for the Clippers for a long time. Dave text me at 10 a.m. be like, what time are you practicing today? I'm showing up at your at your thing. And then let me just grill him. Hey, we're running this. What do you think? How could we adapt this? What did you see in your time at Clippers? So he's honorary Sunbird for sure. Those guys are just unbelievable in terms of their caretaking of our game, but also what it meant to them at Fresno Pacific. It's a wild experience, and I'm just so grateful for those guys that came before.
Talking with CJ Haydock, the men's basketball coach at Fresno Pacific College. So you talk a little bit about the types of young men that you're developing and trying to be, you know, instill in them a sense of community and what it means to be, you know, later in life, a husband and a father and all those great things. When you are deciding on what types of players you want in your program and offering them a scholarship, do you feel it more as like an interview? You're interviewing them. They are interviewing you, the relationship. What sense of feeling are you trying to get with that?
Yes, both ways. Takes a specific guy to be at FBU, right? Like, we're not interested in shortcuts. We're pretty proud of the fact that we're under-resourced and we achieve at the level we do. We're pretty proud of the fact that we have struggles and we overcome them. We're not shy about that. We talk about it in recruiting quite a bit. So it takes a really specific guy. I think we probably, as a staff, I got an unbelievable coaching staff. No one's been with me for less than 5 years. Continuity's crazy. I bet we touch 500 plus kids a year in terms of like initial evaluation, phone call, conversation, Zoom, whatever it is. And the joke with my assistants is, all right, we got to get a Haydock feel for it. Cause I know, you know, I want holistic young men that want to be coached, that want to be the best version of themselves. There's a very fine line of that. And so a way a kid carries himself tells me a lot about him, and I have to get him on the phone. I got to see him play live, and I got to get him on the phone to get that feel. But also, like, we recognize that I specifically, our staff, but especially me, like, not like everybody else. I'm not for everybody. And I'm pretty comfortable in that skin. So it cuts both ways.
Yeah.
And I think I can get a feel real quick. Oh, this is going to be viable for me. And also, no, that kid just thinks I'm a weirdo, that I'm a psycho. And it doesn't bother me. Like, yeah. I know I'm cut a little different. I know we're cut a little different. I know what we're asking is abnormal. But when we find those guys, and I think we have those guys on our team right now, it's when you overcome an 8-game losing streak for something bigger. It's when you overcome a 4-overtime game. It's when they go, and, you know, a couple weeks ago we were on an aggressive losing streak, and one of my alumni texted me at 1:30 in the morning, hey, you've been who you've been. Why won't you still be him? Why won't you demand it? And we won our next game, and I had a shift because I need to be held accountable by one of my alumni. Like, that's special. So when you invite people into it, you got to protect it. And I think early in my time at FBU, we didn't protect it well enough. And now we're, if anything, too diligent about protecting it. So it's definitely a two-way street because guys have to know what they're signing up for. They have to know that, hey, man, we're going to chapel together. Hey, man, you're going to come in and sit with me, and we're going to demand excellence. We just got a 3.42 as a basketball program, fall GPA. We've graduated every dude. Like, that's not for everybody. And so if we're authentic about it, their response is our interview, and their response is also their interview. And so just it cuts both ways for sure.
Absolutely. And we've got about another minute here or two with Coach C.J. Haydock. And I've been witness to it, right, personally. And if people listen to my show, they know I like to put in a lot of personal stuff because I think that connects me with the listeners as well. But I've been witness to your growth as a person. I watched you play in high school and watched your growth at, you know, through your coaching career at Emmanuel, your different stops that you've had. And you've been very welcoming to me as well. So it's been an amazing journey. I got to ask you, all right, we got about 30 seconds here, my friend. If you – We got to go a little out of the box here. If you could have one meal with a living person right now,
oof,
who would it be?
Oh, that's hard. Give me Popovich.
Why?
Oh, I get a well-rounded conversation. I mean, I'm a lifelong Spurs fan. So give me Greg Popovich, greatest coach of all time of any sport. And he's very well-equipped to share a bottle of red wine and share his thoughts on non-hoop. Yes. We can have some depth there. Popovich all the way.
And then maybe a little Wemby talk as well.
Yeah, yeah, so. And then we'll get hyped about the future.
All right. Coach C.J. Haydock, always great. Playing the Biolas, the unmentionables, so to speak.
Yeah, unmentionables.
The unmentionables at 4:30, especially the Event Center. Check it out. Always great to catch up with you. Love you, my friend.
Love it. Thank you.
All right, you bet. All right, that's it. Great show today. A lot of fun. Thanks to Jorge Rodriguez, Gabe Camarillo. Thanks to Coach Tim Adamson, C.J. Haydock, of course, and Athena Thomason from Clovis West. We'll talk to you guys next week.